afternoon, or good morning, I don't know, whatever time of day it is. My name is Justine Hyde. I am the Director of Research and Evaluation at an organization called the Institute for Community Health. It's located in Massachusetts. And I'm talking with you today about an evaluation that we've done in partnership with the Massachusetts State Department of Public Health and a number of local public health agencies, looking at the impact of cross-jurisdictional service sharing on the delivery of public health services. And I just want to acknowledge my colleague, Jeff Wilkinson. He's in the back there. He worked at the state when this grant initiative started and has been an active participant in the evaluation and the initiative overall. I have nothing to disclose. So the Massachusetts District Incentive Program was really, the goal was to strengthen the local public health service system. For those of you familiar with Massachusetts, we have a unique system in that we have a very strong home rule state, and the responsibility for local public health services falls on municipalities. We have 351 of them. So every city and town is responsible for the provision of its public health services. In an equity context, I'm trying to think about how my talk relates to all the others here, and in an equity context, you can imagine that we do not have equitable public health service deliveries. The town of 500 cannot possibly provide the same public health services as a town of 500,000. And so we have vast disparities in the delivery of local public health services. And we really wanted, the state has really wanted to increase, think about strategies for increasing the capacity to perform essential public health services. And so the district incentive grant program was actually, the state leveraged the CDC NIFI, National Public Health Improvement Initiative, some grant dollars from that to catalyze the formation of cross-jurisdictional service sharing partnerships. And related to the Public Health Foundation, there was a regionalization working group that maybe did a driver diagram early on. We didn't call it that, but you know, really thinking, how do we improve public health services across the state? Catalyzing partnerships across municipalities was one of the ideas that came out of that. So the state, and Jeff really was the mastermind behind this, created a five-year grant program. The first year was planning grants. There were 12, I can't remember now, 11 or 12 grants that were awarded to groups of communities to plan for service sharing, and then five went on to be awarded. And they got $100,000 in years two and three, so not a tremendous amount of money, but enough money for coordination and shared, funding staff and some programming. And then that was a step down in year four, $75,000 and $50,000 in year five, with the idea that that's moving these groups towards sustainability. And over the course of the 5 years, technical assistance was offered. Legal technical assistance was incredibly valuable for many jurisdictions. There was some support with conducting a community health assessment, which was a requirement of funding. And then evaluation, which is what we did, and peer learning collaborative. So there were a bunch of activities that went along with it. There were five groups, as I said, just visually. This is our public health system. These are our cities and towns. And I just wanted to show where those groups were. They ranged in size. The Berkshires, sort of over in the left-hand side, had 22, now 23 partners. It covers a vast area. That's a very rural area, very, very small towns. Mostly public health services delivered by volunteer boards of health. And then, moving over to the right-hand side, there's, the North Shore has seven municipalities that are involved in it. So they vary in terms of the size of partnerships. Really what I wanted to, and 58 participating municipalities altogether. This is a diagram that I borrowed from Pat Libby over here. He's in the audience. This is a model, sort of the continuum of shared service delivery models. We had a variety of different service sharing models that were funded. They range from sharing a staff, sharing some coordinated services, and planning, all the way to two groups, but they really brought all of their public health services together and delivered by a single entity. In one case, it was a single municipality that delivered services to six other municipalities. In the other, it was a regional council of governments. So there was a variety, all this to say, there was a variety of shared service models that were funded under this grant initiative. And the evaluation was closely aligned with what the state wanted to see. So we created a dashboard to link to one of our other speakers today. We created a dashboard that tracked progress over time on these variables. So the delivery of state-mandated environmental health services, communicable disease management. There was a requirement to have Board of Health members trained to do their jobs. And it's a requirement for municipalities to conduct a joint community health assessment, a district health initiative, so really along the lines of tobacco. It started as tobacco control or obesity prevention. Others expanded over time to create other community health programs. But there was a governance structure to advise the groups, and that there were minimal workforce qualifications, which in our state there currently are no minimal workforce qualifications, so they had to have some. Data from the evaluation came from the Department of Public Health. We tried to leverage what we could, what was reported, grantee documents, and then interviews. And in the interest of time, since there are a lot of variables, I'm going to just provide some highlights. I'm just going to talk you through some highlights of what we found from the evaluation. I'm not going to show you a bunch of graphs and charts, so you'll have to believe me that these improvements did actually happen. Improving the capacity to deliver the 10 essential public health services was a major driver for the state. And I just, as a spoiler alert, I want to highlight that we did see improvements in seven out of the 10 essential public health services. So, in each of these areas, health departments that weren't providing these services or doing it to some small extent, really bolstered their capacity to deliver these essential public health services. And I'm going to highlight a few of those, and just a few of them. So in terms of the four that I think are the strongest findings from our evaluation is that we saw an increased capacity to meet state-mandated services for both inspectional and surveillance services. And this is really retail food inspections and communicable disease control. We saw an increase in trained public health professionals performing the work in our municipalities, which is particularly important for our smaller jurisdictions. We saw an increased efficiencies as a result of information and resource sharing. And then finally, a pretty dramatic increased capacity to provide community health programs and services. So to walk through these quickly, here is where we have most of our more quantitative data, but in every group of municipalities, we saw an increase in the ability to meet state mandates for retail food inspections, regular surveillance, being on our electronic surveillance system and conducting regular surveillance of communicable diseases. The weekly testing of natural bathing waters increased, and the availability of a lead determinator. What we didn't include, but what we found through our qualitative interviews and our work with municipalities is that there's also increased continuity of services and backup support across municipalities when needed. With respect to the increase in trained public health professionals performing the work, I think this is to some extent a source of controversy in our state. In rural areas, it is with small budgets for public health services, it's hard to find trained public health service professionals to perform the work. So by working together and pulling money, having some money from the state and pulling other resources, in our qualitative interviews, we heard repeatedly how important it was to have consistent public health professionals on staff versus contracted for $8,000 or $7,000. By virtue of being on staff, they're available to the district, and they're also available to address and be a part of emerging public health issues. And there are numerous examples of that. We have board members that are trained to do their job. There was a requirement just to do an online training, which many board members are not trained in our state. And so board members, there's an increased number of municipalities with trained Board of Health members. In terms of public health nursing services, one of the fabulous outcomes of having trained public health nurses performing surveillance and working together across municipalities is that they not only consistently monitoring and responding to communicable diseases, but also able to look regionally at trends. And so in the Berkshires, for example, they found that hepatitis C is the second most commonly reported communicable disease in that region, and they that sparked a whole conversation about what kinds of education is needed, what kind of work do we need to do to identify and prevent hepatitis C. So we see the benefit of having a regional perspective on public health trends. The standardization of high-quality services, I think, speaks for itself. We now have municipalities that are performing some services similarly. And then an increase in awareness of public health roles and responsibilities has led to an increase in the valuing of public health services across municipalities. And municipalities that prior to had not invested much money in the delivery of public health services is now contributing more money than they ever have in the past. And this is that's not true across all groups, but those who have been working more on the comprehensive end of the spectrum have been able to see the value of public health services and are now investing in it. Quickly, in terms of the efficiencies as a result of information sharing, I feel like, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, I feel like this is pretty self-explanatory, but people have highlighted, just the one that I would point out, is that there's a huge reduction in duplication of effort. Where single municipalities used to put out prevention for Lyme disease and flu vaccinations, people are creating a common public health message, common flyers, identifying services that are needed, and doing that together. So there's an incredible efficiency in working with the public, communicating with the public and elected officials, and then sharing among public health professionals, Board of Health members, and staff. And then finally, I am going to spend two slides on this because I do think that this is one of the more exciting findings that we have from the evaluation. There was a requirement to do a community health assessment, which most of our jurisdictions had not participated in community health assessments or been at the table if there were a local hospital that had completed one. So they had data to look at to inform strategic priorities. And from that data, because they are working together, there is strength in numbers. And so very small jurisdictions, municipalities that never had been competitive for grant dollars before, all of a sudden, after a lot of hard work and labor, are working with others, the extent of their reach, the population's reach, make them more competitive for grants. And there are some fabulous examples. One of our grantee groups up in the north, the Montechuset Public Health Network, they have brought in millions of dollars worth of grants to support community health programs and services. So it is an incredible testament to the power of working together and being able to bring resources to municipalities that have not had those resources and programming. And they focused on a whole variety. Opioid overdose is a huge one. Influx of dollars that are going to municipalities. Smoke-free housing. A lot of focus on tick and Lyme disease this year. Healthy weight promotion and more. The other element of capacity is that we have trained public health employees that can offer community health programs. Healthy aging is an example of having a nurse, public health nurse, that's able to work with seniors in municipalities on healthy aging and injury prevention. Participation in hoarding and housing-related task force and healthy eating and active living initiatives. And then finally, being able to leverage partnerships with hospitals and health centers. Public health departments and are these groups of public health officials are suddenly really attractive to hospitals because they represent multiple communities and they represent the communities that are served by those hospitals. So they become a more valuable partner to those health systems. So the last few slides are just on some of our lessons learned. I think engaging local partners in the conception, design, and implementation of your shared service delivery model was critical, and having that year of support to plan for implementation was incredibly valuable for a number of the groups. Change takes time. New routines require trust and accountability. I'll say a number in our qualitative interviews, understanding the variation in values and investments across municipalities is something that I think the leads of these service sharing arrangements would impart on anyone who's going to do this work. Understand who you're going to partner with and what are their drivers, what do they value. And then because it's very hard, it was very hard for municipalities when the values for public health were so different. There was a lot of time and a lot of energy put into bringing people up to the same value. And then making the work of public health visible, be accountable for the work, talk about the work, highlight your accomplishments. That is important for raising the visibility of public health. Two other big lessons learned, we're at the end of this initiative and people said, I wish I would have started planning, creating a business plan earlier. And that is an incredible amount of work, but you really have to understand what are the real costs of performing, working across jurisdictions and thinking creatively about all revenue sources. And then the last is that shared service models require a lot of upfront work, more comprehensive shared service models. The two in our state that had more comprehensive shared service models had a lot of upfront work, but I think we're seeing more longer-term benefits. So just in terms of the type of model that we're seeing the greatest benefits. And then for states, anyone that's interested in supporting this work, providing technical assistance to folks that are involved in cross-jurisdictional service sharing, particularly I would say the legal support was highlighted as incredibly valuable. Being very clear about what you expect from cross-jurisdictional service sharing arrangements is also important. It's hard enough. We heard it was hard enough, and you need clear guidance so you're not inventing the wheel and figuring out what to do. And so being very clear about the expectations and having the ability to monitor compliance with those expectations supports everyone in doing their work. And with that, I'm happy to take questions. I know Jeff is here and he's also happy to take questions about this.